Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. For expert advice on love and relationships, call into the show at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Or you can submit your question online at AskDrLove.com. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to kick off the new year with you. In today's show, I'm talking about what rats can teach us about making New Year's resolutions that stick. And I'll be introducing a new concept to you, your New Year's relationship resolution. You know, every year, millions of people across the globe make New Year's resolutions to improve their career, their health, their fitness, weight loss, or finances. So isn't it time to make a relationship resolution? In this show, I'm going to talk about resolutions in general and why they fail for most people and how to make them stick. And then I'm going to show you how to create your very own relationship resolution so that this year you can crank your love life into high gear. And if you're committed to making this year the year that you achieve your relationship or any other goals, then stick with me, because I'm going to hand you the keys that are going to enable you to drive your deepest relationship desires happily off into the sunset. And later in the show, I'm going to be answering three questions that I selected that came into the site. First one is called Messed Up, Still Want Him Back. And in this question, I'm helping a woman who, in her desperation to get her ex back, created another identity and chatted with him on a dating site about her failed relationship. Then he fell in love with this imaginary girl and then became enraged when he discovered that it was she all along. And she wants to know what she can do to get him back. So stay tuned to discover how taking responsibility for her mistake is her best shot at getting him back. The second question I've chosen is called, Am I Being Ridiculous? Here I'm helping out a woman in her 40s who just moved in with her caretaking boyfriend who's offered free lodging to a former girlfriend of his who's down on her luck. She's furious to have to clean up after this other woman and wonders how she can get this woman out of their lives. So stick around to hear how cleaning up her own act is the key to cleaning up this mess. And the third question that I'm picking is reconnecting with my love. And here I'm advising a man whose girlfriend placed ads to explore her bisexual urges. She denies having slept with anyone else, but his gut tells him otherwise. Now, if he finds out that she's lied to him, he says he'll end the relationship. And he wants to know how to get her to tell him the truth. So stick around to find out my take on what's really going down. And then I'm also going to do a reading between the sheets segment where I put those tough sexual problems to bed by reading between the sheets and finding out what's really going down. And the question I've picked is called oral sex, where I'm helping out a guy who can't swallow the fact that his girlfriend won't give him oral sex, but did give oral to a man that she wasn't involved with. He's so upset over this that he's driving his girlfriend away. So stick around to find out what the real reason is for why this topic has him down and what he can do to move forward. Okay, so now let's get on to today's topic, how to make and keep your New Year's relationship resolution and what rats can teach us about how to do this. Now, if you're like most people, I'm sure you're all too familiar with failed New Year's resolutions. You know, at this time of the year, most people get excited about the new year because it represents new opportunities and renewed hope. But did you know that it's usually by the second week of January, the enthusiasm has waned considerably? But you know, it doesn't have to be that way. You could make this year different. This is the year that you can decide once and for all to make a lasting change in your life. Now, we all have the genuine desire to truly achieve our New Year's resolutions. But if you don't understand why you're not getting the results you want and how to get the results you want, then you're going to continue to do the things that you've been doing and continue to get what you've been getting. Now, over the years, I'm sure you've seen each and every one of your resolutions wither and die on the vine. And of course, each time you fail at sticking to your resolutions, your self-esteem decomposes just a little more. Every year, millions of people across the globe make their New Year's resolutions to improve their career, their health, their fitness, their weight loss, their finances. So I want to talk about why resolutions fail for most people and how you can make your resolutions stick. And Now, if you're committed, if you're really committed, we can do this. We can do this. Now, if you're like most people, you really beat your self-esteem up, beat it into the ground because of past failures. And I really want you to know that your past failures did not come from a lack of true desire or a lack of commitment to making changes in your life. The real reason why people don't stick to their New Year's resolutions is because we are all creatures of habit. And we will continue to do the things that we've always done simply because we're programmed that way. Our programs are our belief systems, and these beliefs determine our thoughts and our actions, which ultimately determine our results. And there's a name for this. It's called the status quo resistance. And did you know it's considered a universal resistance? We all have a resistance to changing and sticking with what's familiar. We want to stay with what's familiar, and we resist creating something new. Knowing this enables you to make the decision to no longer recreate the things that you no longer desire in your life. And this is the first step to making your New Year's resolution stick. Now, what can rats teach us about this topic? It's true, they really can. Have you ever seen a rat caught in a maze? What does he do when he hits a dead-end wall? When I ask most people this question, they say, he keeps banging his head against the wall. But what's wild is he doesn't. Rats back up and go another way around. It's only people who keep banging their heads against the same dead-end walls, repeating the same behaviors over and over again, even though they don't work. So it's time for us to take a lesson from rats. And when you take stock in your life and you see that something you're doing doesn't work, it's time for you to back up and try something new. I smell a rat. Your new mantra is then going to become, what doesn't work, no matter how long I keep doing it. And this year I'm going to back up and try something new. So this year, your resolution starts with admitting that in order to get out of your dead-end maze, you need to consciously reprogram your thoughts, your beliefs, and your actions so you can stay on track and actually achieve your goal or your resolution. So now that you understand this maladaptive aspect of human psychology, that we are really programmed to not change, you can see that it's actually simple to achieve any goal you want. You may not know how, but don't allow the not knowing to stop you from believing in achieving the end result. And do not allow the not knowing to hold you back from taking the necessary action toward the achievement. So I want to give you a step-by-step plan on how you can make a resolution that sticks. Okay, the first step, and it's going to be 9 steps, but the first step is decide what you want. Now, deciding what you want in your life, even though you don't yet know how you're going to make it happen, is a key to change. You know, all great achievements have begun this way. I was reading that when we decided to put a man on the moon, nobody had any idea how that dream would come about. My point is, first, you have to have a dream, like Martin Luther. I have a dream. Decide that you're going to fulfill it, and then the how will come about. You know, even my Dr. Love ministry came about in this way. I'll never forget it. It was one day in the 80s, the early 80s. I had a vision of my bringing relationship advice to people throughout the world using computers. And that was a crazy vision because at the time, the internet didn't even exist. Then in the early 90s, nearly a decade later, when the internet was created, I jumped and made the dream I had seen come true. So my point is, most people don't achieve their goals because they immediately get bogged down by thinking, how can I do X, Y, or Z? And since they don't know how they're going to achieve the goal, they don't do anything about it. So we give up before we've even begun. So I'm here to tell you that you don't have to know how. Just start by deciding what it is that you want. When you decide what you want, and by the way, that's what a resolution is, a decision, and you stick to your decision by being determined, you will find the way, even if it isn't evident in the beginning. The how will be revealed to you when you stay focused on your goal, and you must stay focused on your goal. Now, here's the second step that we can learn from rats about making resolutions that stick. Know that you are the glue that keeps you stuck. and only you can get you unstuck. So become aware of the things that you've been doing in the past that have been preventing you from achieving your goals. For example, let's say you notice that you have a repetitive thought pattern that may be something like, I'll never have a happy relationship, or I'm no good at that, or I just can't get that, or I've never done it before. Every thought you think is pure energy in motion, and whether you believe it or not, these thoughts are anchors that firmly embed themselves into your psyche, weigh you down, and hold you back no matter how hard you try to move forward and do the things that you think are taking you toward the achievement of your goal. Self-debilitating words and phrases and thoughts come from your belief system, and it's your belief system that's going to have the greatest impact on your results. So create a belief system that will support you in the achievement of your goals. And you can do this by answering this question. What do I need to believe in order to achieve this goal? And you write down the answer and you read it every single day, several times a day. And I know you've heard the expression, if you believe something, or if you hear something over and over again, you start to believe it. Well, the same principle applies here to your resolution. Repetition will cause you to start to believe whatever it is can be done, even if you don't have the faith in the beginning. And remember this saying, and it will have a profound impact on your life. Believe, and your belief will create your wish. All right, now here's the third step. Focus on making one change at a time. You know, the most common mistake people make out of enthusiasm and over-eagerness are to try to change too many things at once, or make a goal that's just, you know, just unwieldy, like I'm going to run 1,000 miles a week. So it usually becomes too much a few weeks down the line, and so the new goals and habits are left in the ditch as you fall back into the old routine once again. So you want to be enthusiastic, but you want to be smart too. So you only focus on one habit or small change per month, and do it until it becomes the new norm in your life. Then add another habit or small change. You know, it's said that after 6 weeks of adopting a new behavior, that behavior has become yours for life. And it might feel like things are going too slowly, but in 12 months, you could actually accrue 12 new habits in your life if you do it in this focused and smart way. Now, here's the fourth step. Make a clear goal. For a dream to become a goal that you realize, it must be specific. Being thin is an image, it's a dream, but saying I'm going to lose 10 pounds by March 1 is a true resolution. So be clear on what you want to achieve. Make a New Year's resolution that you have a real, bona fide intention of keeping. And the truth is, most people have made a genuine, serious, no kidding around, I really mean to do it, this New Year's resolution. If they've made that kind of I mean it, and then they follow through, they make it happen. Okay, step 5. Baby steps lead to big growth down the line. So you want to avoid procrastination and inner resistance and make things easier on yourself by taking small steps outside of your comfort zone. So you start by running for 5 minutes. Then a week or two later, you add 5 more minutes of running. Or you start working for just 5 minutes on something that you've feared or been nervous about. And then you can go back to your regular stuff and then come back and do 5 more minutes of work on that one thing that you've resisted, that is your goal. And small steps add up quickly. Believe me, they do. So it's far better to have traveled quite a distance over a year by taking small steps than to feel overwhelmed by taking a first big step and then procrastinating on it for 6 months or 12. This is far better for you to just take the small step and then keep building on it, as opposed to taking a big step and then it becomes too overwhelming and then you don't finish. Now here's the sixth step, which is write it down. If you see a reminder right in front of your eyes, it's a vital tool that's going to assist you in taking action toward the achievement of your goal, okay? So take some action today. And an action that you can take is to write out your goal. Write out only one goal. Doing this doesn't take an enormous amount of time. What action are you going to take? If you don't know what action to take, find someone who's already achieved the result that you want and discover how he or she did it. And find a way for each day for you to do two things toward the achievement of your goal. And these two daily actions can be simple things, but you stick to your commitment to do at least two things each and every day, and you'll realize extraordinary results within a short period of time. You're just going to be amazed at the results. Do this for 30 days, and you'll see how it changes your life. And once you see the positive changes, increase your intensity, focus, faith, commitment, and take more action and watch the new improvements over the next 30 days. I'm certain you're familiar with exponential growth, and you'll have exponential growth when day to day, month to month, you continue to work toward the achievement of your goal and make subtle distinctions and improvements, okay? Now, it's easy to let the new habit or change slip through the cracks as everyday life interferes, and before you know it, a week or two has passed by without you having put in much work into this new part of your life. So the easiest way to remember your current habit, your goal, or the thing you're focusing on is to write it down and place that note where it is in front of your eyes every day, like the bathroom mirror or the fridge, right? Write it down. Place that note in your workspace where you can't avoid seeing it. Make a copy of the note and put one on your bedside table too, so it's the first thing you see when you wake up in the morning. So commitment is not only habitual, but it's also essential, and it moves you ever closer to your resolution and ultimate success. Commitment is the heartbeat of your goal. All right, let me take a brief break, and when I come back, I'm going to hit you with the seventh technique for making a resolution that sticks. So I and the rats will be back in a moment.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have. Or you can submit a question to her free advice column. However, if you're listening live, why not call in? Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, and this is a unique chance to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. So, if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Now back to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Seriously, I'm just working with the rats today, talking about what rats can teach us about keeping our resolutions. Because rats always think outside the box, and they don't allow themselves to become creatures of habit. So step number seven is yet another thing that we can do to help us achieve and stick to a resolution that we've made. And this one's called Get an Accountability Bud. It becomes a lot easier, you know, to stick with that new habit or change until it becomes a normal part of your life. And after that, too, if you have someone there for support and accountability, that person can check up on you so that you get the exercise you made your commitment to do, or so you stay active in your dating life, or so you don't eat too much unhealthy food, and you in turn do the same for that person, and so you both stay on the right track. So your accountability buddy could be a friend, it could be a family member, someone at work, or a local club that you know, or someone you got to know online through a forum or a website. And that person doesn't even have to have the same exact goal as you. Important thing is that you stay accountable to each other, and you support and you motivate and you gently nudge each other back on the right track during tough times. Okay, here's step eight. Don't flip when you slip. So you're going to most likely have a few bad days and stumble even if and when you follow my tips. But the important thing here is to not take that stumble too seriously. So don't be too hard on yourself when it happens, and don't beat yourself up about it for a week. You know, what do kids do when they're learning how to ride a bike? Have you noticed they stumble, brush themselves up, and they get back on the bike? But grown-ups, we seem to have lost that ability to be resilient. We stumble, and instead of saying, wow, that's great, I'm that much closer to my destination, get back up, we berate ourselves and bemoan our stumble. So beating yourself up really doesn't help, because it lowers your self-esteem. And it makes doing whatever you want to do harder and less fun after each time you've slipped and beaten up on yourself. And that could certainly lead to giving up altogether after a while. So avoid being your own worst enemy. And instead, after you've stumbled, ask yourself what your best friend would tell you in this situation and be a best friend to yourself too. And learn what you can from the experience so you don't have to repeat the same stumble too many times. Then get back on the horse again the next day and keep riding off into the sunset. Okay, and here's my last step for you. Expect roadblocks. Be ready to handle the adversity, the challenges, and be prepared to overcome the obstacles. Because you're going to have challenges, be prepared. To weather any challenge, obstacle, or adversity, what you want to do is make sure to not make it any bigger than it is. So look for the gift in the adversity, learn from it, look past it, and just like when you're car sick, you don't want to look at what is in your immediate sight. That just makes you sicker. But instead, you focus on the distant horizon, okay, and become relentlessly persistent. All right, now you've got the basic structure for how to get over those status quo resistances that keep you stuck and keep you from making the changes you want. Now, when it comes to making a New Year's relationship resolution, I want you to pick one thing that's not working for you in your relationship. Now, instead of focusing on the other person, your partner, your husband, your fiance, your wife, your girlfriend, whatever, and what that person is doing wrong, I want you to focus on yourself and on what you're doing to keep the pattern going. Remember, it takes two to tango. So I want you to take responsibility for your part in the problem. Think outside the box. Don't be a rat in a maze. And what's amazing is the fact that when one person changes, the entire relationship shifts. You're literally a pebble in the pond. So, for example, let's say your husband never takes out the garbage, which triggers you to nag and yell at him. And then he gets mad at you and doesn't want to be responsive, so you yell and nag some more. You know the dance. Now, even if he started it by not doing the garbage, after a while, it doesn't matter who started it because you're keeping the conflict going. And if you let go of the rope, stop banging your head on the dead-end wall, and you do something different, the entire struggle is broken. So, for example, what if you said something positive to him? You praised him for something else that he does that pleases you and that you've overlooked because you pissed at him over the garbage. Your praise will smooth his feathers and make him more favorably inclined toward you. When we're angry at others, we don't want to be collaborative and responsive. But when we're feeling fed and acknowledged emotionally, we feel more generous and responsive, which will up your chances that he'll want to take out the garbage on his own. So take a look at what you're doing that's not working. Now, if you need a cheat sheet, read all about the fight traps. Those are those dysfunctional, faulty fighting tactics and behavior patterns that we use. And I've listed them all until death do us part, unless I kill you first. So find out, are you nagging? Are you short-tempered? Are you defensive? Are you not listening? Now, the first step toward letting go of a pattern, a relationship pattern that doesn't work, is admitting what you're doing that's not working. And don't forget, whatever you say or do boomerangs back on you. You're the author of your fate. You reap what you sow. So make a resolution to resolve this one dysfunctional, counterproductive behavior of yours. And remind yourself that you are responsible for what you say and do. And you can choose to take five, splash water on your face, stop banging your head on the same dead-end wall, and choose instead to say and do something totally out of the box. And this is a choice you can make. And you and your relationship will reap the rewards. I promise you they will. Your partner will be closer to you for it. And your love, your connection, your intimacy is going to blossom this year. I'm very excited for you. And I want to hear from you. I want to hear how you join the ranks of people who really take the reins back, take responsibility for their behavior, and then watch how their relationship and the world around them changes in response. All right, let me give you some tweets on this topic. You know, these tweets can actually be mantras for you that just keep motivating you on. These can be your tweet motivational buddies. Okay, here's one. Beware of a highfalutin resolution that requires a rewrite of your constitution, because that will inspire a complete dissolution. Okay, here's another. When it comes to resolutions, don't set the bar too high, because they ain't gonna fly. And another. When you change, you're like a pebble in the pond. That's like having a relationship magic wand. Another, when it comes to fights and power struggles, it takes two to tango. Watch what happens when you let go. Here's another one. This one's really simple. Be wise and create resolutions that are bite-size. And another, when it comes to resolutions, don't bite off more than you can chew. Otherwise, you'll never be able to make a breakthrough. And another, this year, your own horn will be a tootin', because you're going to create your own resolution revolution. And here's my last one. This year, move past the fear and shift your love life into high gear. I like that one. Alrighty. So, would you like me to talk to you about this one question? Messed up and yes, and I still want him back? I think I can do this question before I have to go to break. So let me lay this on you. Dear Dr. Love, I messed up with my chance to get my ex-boyfriend back. We dated for almost 1.5 years. We had a very healthy relationship. We shared lots of interests, just like a perfect match to each other. We broke up since he said he suddenly lost feelings for me. I tried to bring him back, but I did not follow no contact rules. We still talked, and at that time, it seemed I had a good chance if I stayed calm and kept working. Then I did something super stupid. I found he was using some dating app, so I added him using a different identity and said hi, and he responded to me and started to chat with me on IM. I did not try to flirt with him. I complained to him about my failed relationship. I did not even fake it was not me. Somehow it turned out that he said he fell in love with the girl I faked, said lots of sweet words to her. I was so jealous and angry, I told him the truth. Of course, he was humiliated and so pissed off. He said lots of hurtful words and said I was a bitch. He'd never, ever have anything to do with me anymore. I was sad and remorseful, but I still have feelings for him, and I still don't want to give him up. I still want him back. I decided not to contact him to cool down for a while, but I really do need advice and help for this situation. Signed, regretfully, Shirley. Okay, wow, Shirley, your story is a good example of why acting on feelings does not work. And by this I mean, when I say acting on feelings, putting feelings into behavior instead of constructive communications. This is so relationship destructive. Now, I hear you want your ex back, but the path back to him is going to be very bumpy, and I'm not very hopeful that you're going to succeed. But nevertheless, I'm going to lay out the plan for you. Now, first off, I want you to know, if the relationship had been so wonderful as you described, then why did he lose his feelings for you? Because either he's a very young man who hasn't played the field and isn't ready to settle down yet, which could explain why he broke up, or there actually was a lot wrong with the relationship from his point of view, which is why he broke up with you. Now, you don't seem to know what wasn't working for him, and obviously you can't fix something if you don't know why it broke. So, unfortunately, as you were trying to reconcile, you discovered that he was using a dating app. And at this point, I think your feelings of anxiety over the prospect of losing him led you to derail and play that unfortunate game with him. Now, what you did clearly broke his trust in you, and it gave him all the ammo he needed to blame you and break contact. Now, can you see where your true problem lies here? It seems to me that when you go into action, you go into action because you have strong feelings. Now, actions do temporarily release internal emotional pressure, which is why most people act out. But as you see, action always backfires. So if you're going to make a relationship work, you have to be able to sit with feelings and not do or say anything on impulse. To make a relationship, we all have to cultivate the discipline of tolerating uncomfortable feelings while doing nothing to discharge or release them. I know this is a very tall order, but I describe this as developing psychic or emotional muscle. You know, when you go to the gym At first, your muscles are weak and you can't bear any weight. But as you keep on lifting and lifting and lifting the weight, your muscles get stronger. This is the same with bearing emotional weight. At first, you can't sit with feelings. You have to blurt out. You have to act out. But as you train yourself to just sit with and bear the emotional weight, you will be able to not discharge or release your feelings in a destructive way. And what you're going to learn to do is study your feelings. And you're going to look at how they connect to your history and your old scars from childhood. And you're going to be considering what you might do or say that would be constructive for you, for the other person, and your relationship. And during all this reflection, while you're holding your feelings and sitting with them, you're not going to take any actions. Not until you're damn sure that what you intend to do or say will be constructive. Now, I know this sounds unspontaneous, and it is, because until you train yourself to not act on raw feelings, you need to rein yourself in. And eventually, you're going to be able to go through this process at lightning speed, and you'll be able to deal constructively right in the moment. Now, I know it's hard as hell, but believe me, there's no other way. And most people destroy their relationships because they haven't learned to discipline themselves and not selfishly vent their feelings onto others. Now, to get back to your goal of getting your ex back, first and foremost, do not make him feel that you're trying to twist his arm or change his mind regarding the breakup. If he feels pressured by you, he's going to go the other way. So you have to be resigned to not getting him back before you approach him again. Now, when you do approach, your first order of business is to apologize. You need to tell him that what you did was game playing and wrong, and he needs to hear that you totally understand why he was furious with you. You tell him that you've become aware of your habit of acting on impulse instead of talking constructively, and tell him that you're on the path to improving yourself, and you'd like him to do you a favor. And please tell you what you did or didn't do in the relationship so you can learn from this. When you take this position, he's going to see that you are truly different. You're really walking the walk, not talking the talk. Now, if there's anything left to salvage here, you will be creating the soil that will save the relationship. And I really hope that he isn't too far gone. Please, please keep in touch with me and let me know what happens. All right, let me just take a brief break so Dr. Love can swallow more testosterone pills, and I'll be back with you in a moment.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you like what you're hearing, you can learn about Dr. Turndorf's techniques for turning conflict into connection and healing in her critically acclaimed, groundbreaking book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First, a step-by-step guide for resolving relationship conflict. Find out more about this book and read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. This show is for you, the listeners, so please give her a call now. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I love being with you. It's a nice little break for me in the middle of the day to spend an hour with you. You know, in the morning I'm seeing patients, in the afternoon I'm seeing patients live in the office, and I've come to feel that when I'm with you here over the radio that you're with me too. And I really want to have my webmaster set up a way for you to give me feedback, to let me know how the show landed with you, if I hit the spot for you, if you got what you needed. I want to have more of a dialogue that way too, so keep your eyes peeled and I'll let you know when those kind of feedback mechanisms are in place. Okay, so here's another one. It's called Am I Being Ridiculous? Dear Dr. Love, I'm almost 3 years into a relationship with a man that started off mid-distance. We lived about 90 miles apart. He's 55 and I'm 44. Approximately 1 year into the relationship, as we were becoming more serious, I discovered during a health crisis he encountered that he had a female roommate. Prior to that, he usually was the one to make the trips to my home, mainly for convenience on both our parts. But obviously now to me, because he also really didn't want me to know or get into a discussion with me about his living situation. He explained to me they had been friends for years, she was down on her luck, and after her divorce had moved back into the room she had, into the room that she and her ex-husband had stayed in at his home, because she had few resources and he felt badly for her. Because he did not know how serious we would become, he felt his living arrangement disclosure was irrelevant to us prior to my finding out. I disagree here with his logic. It was later revealed that before her marriage, she and my ex were sexually involved. He states he did not mention this to me, as the past is the past. There is nothing going on, and he helps his friends. He is very giving, to a fault, to his friends. Furthermore, he is friendly with her whole family, as he states they have helped him out in the past. I do not believe there is anything sexual between them, as she has a boyfriend who is often with her at my boyfriend's home, and they all seem to be friends. But it bothers me that there is a past between my boyfriend and her. I admit this. Now I am moving in and relocating, and I expect her to get it together and move out. She is asking him for extended free lodging for economic reasons. I observe her to be down on her luck, but also lazy with regard to finding employment. She's also a slob, and I resent cleaning up after someone who lays around all day rent-free. I work 45 hours a week and still clean his house. Admittedly, I am a neat freak, but her very existence is beginning to really bother me. He feels caught between a rock and a hard place and doesn't want to leave her homeless. And I feel her lazy self would likely find other lodging if given no choice. Am I being unreasonable to not want his ex to be living with us? Please advise. Thanks, Mary. Okay, Mary, you are truly caught between a rock and a hard place. Because if you address this subject head on with him, it's only going to create a power struggle. So let's back up for a moment and look at this situation with a long lens, a long focus lens. And this is going to give us more creative options for dealing with him and the situation. So you are in the unfortunate position of wanting your boyfriend, who is married to rescuing and whose identity seems tied up in taking care of those who are down on their luck, to put you first and ditch her. Now, if you fall into this trap of trying to force him to oust her, he's going to resist all the more since he's getting so much out of his caretaking. Now, we know that your boyfriend is a people pleaser and a caretaker. People who behave this way unconsciously feel deprived, and they wish to be rescued themselves, believe it or not. The caretaking that they do is tied up with their own old scars, and it's very difficult to abandon. And the only way to break this pattern is for the person to recognize his own sense of need and pain and to reparent himself. Unfortunately, most people never reach this level of awareness because it hurts. So instead, they just leapfrog over their own emotional awareness and they take care of others, hoping to fill the empty well inside themselves by feeding others. Now, if you try to take away his coping mechanism, he'll fight you tooth and nail, because I don't think he wants to face his own pain. Your guy also seems to have a low self-esteem. People pleasers and caretakers often behave in helpful ways in an attempt to feel better about themselves. So people who lack self-esteem are also very afraid of not being liked. And the fact that he didn't tell you the truth about his living situation tells me that he was probably afraid that you would have rejected him had you known. Now he's afraid of not being liked by his ex if he throws her out. Now, the next thing I want you to consider is the fact that we're dealing with a triangle. And I wonder if your guy is using this woman to create space between you and him. Is he, without realizing it, afraid of intimacy? Whenever a third party is brought into a relationship, that party is being used to create space. Now, is this triangle an unfortunate byproduct of his caretaking, or is he actually holding on to her because she provides a built-in wedge between you and him? Now, if having this third wheel in the mix serves him, then if she were to go, he'd find another way of distancing from you. You've heard the old saying, if you can't beat him, join him. In either case, the more you resist, the more his defenses are going to heighten. And the more you try to remove her from the equation, the more he's going to hold on tight. So let's take a detour for a moment and just look at you. You said it bothers you that this woman was his ex. Even though you know they aren't involved anymore, it still bothers you. Now, I have to wonder if you yourself are struggling with an old scar of your own. Have you considered how this triangle relates to your own history? Did you ever feel that your parent favored another sibling over you? And if you did have that experience, then your wound is being revived thanks to this triangle. So here again, your parent is favoring someone else over you. So you're trying to rewrite the old script with a happy ending. And this time your parent's going to pick you and ditch your sibling. So can you see that you are in a losing battle? Because he has his own reasons for keeping her right where she is. So what can we do about all this? You might ask him if he knows what he gets out of taking care of someone who's down and out. Now, you could also get him to talk about his own childhood, and I'm sure there's much he hasn't told you. If you get him talking about his own deprivations, then you will be able to segue into explaining how people can take care of others as an unconscious way of trying to heal themselves. Now, if we're lucky, he'll actually come to see that he's giving to others what he himself needs. And you might ask him if his caretaking of this woman helps him to feel better about himself. Does it fill the void? And then you might move on to having him consider whether he's truly healing his own wound or just depleting himself. And for most caretakers, the giving just drains rather than heals them. And the only true healing is to give the caretaking back to oneself. Then we might also have him look at the way he's not being helpful to her. Because he's actually crippling her. In other words, while he rescues her to try to heal his own wound, he's actually not helping her to get moving. It's like giving a person whose leg works fine crutches to walk on. Soon the good leg becomes lame. So if all of this doesn't move him forward and break the impasse, then you're going to need to decide whether you are willing to be the third wheel and literally relive your own scars from childhood and re-injure yourself in the process. Now, if you want to heal yourself, my book, Till Death Do Us Part, is going to show you how to reparent yourself. And when you decide to be a good mom to yourself, your path will become clear. You won't allow yourself to be in a relationship in which you feel second class. And if he's too damaged to resolve his own problems and set proper limits with this woman, then the healthier you are, it's going to help you know what you have to do. It's really, you get healthier and you'll know what you have to do. And in this case, your self-love is going to demand that you not live under these circumstances. And then you're going to be able to set a healthy limit for yourself in which you tell him that you aren't willing to live in the same house so long as she's there. And setting this limit will be a wonderful example for him for how he could set a limit too. Now, you may not need to get this far, and you may not have to threaten to leave. Just healing yourself and knowing that you deserve more may be all that's needed to propel him on his own self-healing path. So I've given you a lot to think about. I've really explained his dynamics and yours, and I've shown you how helping him to heal his wound will free him up so that he stops enabling her and caretaking her, and how getting healthier yourself will help you be able to set a limit, which will propel everything into motion if you have to do that too. So let me know how you do. All righty. Let me take a little break, and I will be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex, or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Turndorf's latest book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her 5-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed out of years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven no-hype and no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem to guide you to the right path towards reigniting a lasting relationship. For more about Makeup Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and you know I just love being with you for my little afternoon, my afternoon visit with you. So here's another question that I'm answering. It's called Reconnecting with My Love. Dear Dr. Love, I've been dating a lovely divorcee for over 3 years now. Our relationship started with very intense sexual experiences, as her need for discovering her ability to be attractive after 20 years of marriage was her MO. I actually understood her taking 15 lovers over a year's time, considering she had missed her 20s with pregnancy and commitment to a man with a drug problem. I was the last one she found. We fell deeply into a committed love, but the lies she endured were understandably part of her conditioning over many years and immediately caused trust issues. As we settled into our relationship over the years, it became apparent that she was very interested in exploring bisexual desires and fantasies she had. She has opined recently that she may need to have an open relationship to explore these desires. However, she does not want me to sleep with anyone else. Her idea is that her bisexuality is only sex and not based on emotion. Over the course of our relationship, we broke up several times and got back together. Both times she placed ads seeking bisexual women to explore this side of her, some of which I recently discovered. She says that she has not engaged with anyone. However, I have a sinking feeling she is only saying this to avoid conflict. Some of the wording was pretty aggressive, and she is a habitual white liar, omitting things from her family and friends that may cause her to lose face, social standing, or just to keep the peace. We have discussed this issue several times, and she has recently come clean over several items I brought up, but has avoided details that I require to feel more comfortable. I feel that with time and patience, I could get her to open up more. We're now broken up, but are still seeing each other and trying to rectify the situation, and she says that she sees us in 10 years as a loving couple. However, I feel I may not be able to move forward without her fully explaining what I saw. She is avoiding it by saying she feels violated that I would want to look at her emails seeking to hook up with women. She says that nothing happened and that she chickened out or we got back together before it could, but I'm not so sure. She is now in touch with a new woman she finds attractive, whose relationship is open to other females, even calling this woman safe. My question is simple. Is this relationship doomed for failure, or could I position myself in a way that allows her to feel comfortable enough to fully open up? I'm deeply in love with this woman, feeling a connection to her that I've never felt with another human being, and she says the same thing, but I feel that if I don't stand up for my feelings and demand that she expose her interaction to me, it will not allow me to make a fully informed decision about how I want to move forward. Letting go of her is a painful option, but one I would take if I discovered that she has lied about this. And you signed this spun out. Okay, you are truly in a power struggle because you're saying you want to know the entire truth about her involvement with this other, involvements with other women, but you already know she's a white liar and your gut is telling you that she's not telling you the truth of having been with women in order to avoid conflict with you. And actually, she's lying to avoid losing you. Because you're saying that if she just comes clean with you, you'll be able to move forward with her. But this isn't true, because her coming clean will involve admitting that she lied to you. And you said yourself that if you find out that she lied, you will end the relationship. So basically, you're already done. You know in your gut that she's lied. She's never going to admit that to you because she would be issuing her own death sentence. Now, rather than get caught in this power struggle, you need to focus on the larger question of why you want to be in a relationship with a woman who lies and who you can't trust. Because this woman is caught in what I call an enactment. An enactment is an unconscious attempt to resolve an emotional struggle through behavior. Now, unfortunately, enactments never heal our wounds. They just provide us temporary release, and then the person has to do the enactment all over again. Now, in her case, she felt cheated of her chance to play the sexual field. So, the first year after her divorce, she slept with 15 men. Now, when that didn't satisfy her, she moved on to her bisexual urges and the need to satisfy them. And what's going to be next? Chimpanzees? The only way around enactments is to feel the pain and work it through. And in her case, she would have to grieve the loss of her youth rather than try to F her feelings away. Now, I don't see this woman being interested in facing the music. Clearly, she isn't in a position to commit to you. Now she wants to play around and explore her bisexual urges, and she isn't willing to sit on her urges and leave them to fantasy. She's more invested in gratifying herself and in her self-gratification than in preserving your bond. So I'm very sorry, but it sounds to me that you have a deal breaker here and you need to grieve and move on. I always hate when I say that to people because, you know, we hope springs eternal and we keep hoping people will change. This is not a hopeful situation. Okay, now let me do the reading between the sheets question that I've got for you. Here it is. It's called oral sex. Dear Dr. Love, I would really like your advice on a subject that is bothering me and making me feel so down and confused. I'm a 45-year-old man. My girlfriend's also 45. We've been dating for 8 months, and she's never performed oral sex on me, although I've done it numerous times to her. But besides the fact that she never performed oral sex, she rarely touches my genitals and never kisses me anywhere beside on the mouth. I kiss her and I caress her everywhere, and I was very shy to bring the subject up 5 or 6 months into the relationship, and it went downhill from there. At first, I asked the general question, like, do you feel comfortable with me intimately? Do I turn you on? Is there something I don't do? And she replied that all is good and she's attracted to me or she wouldn't be sleeping with me. So one day I asked her directly, did you ever please a guy orally? And then she told me she doesn't enjoy doing it, but yes, she did it rarely. And she said that she did it to her ex-husband once in a while, and she was married 15 years and divorced for 5 years. And I answered, okay, I respect that you don't enjoy it. And then I asked, did it ever happen with guys after your divorce? And here she said once, yes. And this is why I feel like shit, doctor. She performed oral sex on a guy who she said she didn't see a future with. And she added that she felt obliged. And I asked why she felt obliged, and she didn't answer why. And I don't think she had a bad experience because she would tell me. And she told me so many other things. Well, now I'm just going to synopsize it because we're coming to the end here. That you are feeling like she doesn't care for you because she did it with this other guy who she didn't love and she won't do it for you. And you've been good to her. You say you've treated her kindly and patiently and you've treated her so well in and out of the bed. And now you say you're feeling unattractive and taking it personally because she never wants to do oral sex on you. And you're in terrible pain over this. And why can't she just please you once? That's what you want to know. And the more you harp on this with her, the more upset she feels. She doesn't understand why you feel the way you do. And now she's distancing herself from you. Okay. So look, I totally understand why you're in pain. And it's because you're interpreting your girlfriend's unwillingness to give you oral sex as a sign that you are not loved by her and you're not attractive to her. And the fact that she did this with another man that she saw no future with is the icing on the cake of your heartache. Okay, now here's where you need to use my technique called reading between the sheets to understand why you're so upset. Now, read my book, Till Death Do Us Part. There's a whole section on how you will do this. In short, what you're going to do is you're going to strip away the overt content of what's troubling you. She won't give you oral sex, even though she did it on a guy she didn't love. And you're going to focus on what you're feeling instead. You're feeling hurt, unloved, unwanted. Now I want you to come up with a childhood memory that triggers the same feeling. What happened to you back then? Did mom ignore you and pay attention and favor your sister or your brother? When you connect then and now, you're going to understand why the current event has you so very upset, because it's ripped off the scab of your old scar. Now, in adulthood, we all recreate our old scars from childhood because we're hoping to achieve what I call the happy ending. Now, it turns out the term happy ending is most applicable in your case because I'm told a happy ending also refers to an illegal practice of giving an orgasm to a massage client. So you can see the double entendre here. But seriously, your happy ending is for you to finally feel loved and wanted, and you've got it in your head that her giving you head would make you feel loved. Now, if you look back over your relationship with her, you're going to see that you have driven yourself by an unconscious fantasy. You believed that you would win her love by being good to her in and out of the bedroom. And if you look at the way you were with her sexually, you gave her much more than she gave you. And you said that you also gave her oral sex, even though she didn't give to you. And without realizing it, your behavior trained her to take and not reciprocate. And what you've discovered is that your behavior led you to feel used and hurt. And when you operate under this fantasy and give to someone who doesn't reciprocate, you end up feeling like shit, as you said. Now, what you need to see is that you created this entire scenario. Read Till Death Do Us Part, because it's going to help you understand why you got caught in this painful dance, and it's going to show you how to set yourself free. And by the way, a nun or a priest might be willing to receive his or her rewards in the afterlife. But in this life, lay people require reciprocity in and out of the bedroom. The rule of thumb is you give to those who value your gifts and return them to you. So when you read Till Death, you're going to understand that you are trapped in a very painful repetition compulsion. You chose someone who was like the parent who let you down, someone who couldn't love and give back to you. And then you fell into the trap that all neglected and abused kids do. You tried to be a good, giving, and loving boy, thinking that this would win the love that you want. And when that didn't work, you just gave more. And this is the formula for feeling used and like shit. So my book's going to show you how to set yourself free from the wound and free from this woman who can't give you what you deserve emotionally or sexually. Alrighty. That's all I have for you today. And I am very much looking forward to being with you again next week. Take my 9 steps to heart, and you're going to change your life and your relationship this year. See you next week on Ask Dr. Love Radio.